Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am thrilled because we are still studying and gaining understanding from the book of Ezekiel. Now, this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are still yet looming against Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end times. He also revealed the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, who is also called the Apostle John the Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, Bible apps, tablets, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I consider it or like to call it, which at this time you may ask or comment or inquire, if you like, any questions that you may have. Now, before we get started, I have and I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to give thanks to those who have given me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King Solomon, he that putteth not out his hand to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that does these things shall never be moved. That's taken from Psalms 15, verse 5. Now, the promise is that you will never be moved from God if you do not put out your money to usury, nor take reward against the innocent. God said again, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, that was taken from. Now the promise is that God will be our shepherd if we respond to him and obey his commandments. God said again through King David, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's taken from Psalms 119, verse 130. The promise is that the light of God will be given to you if you obey his words. So again, my precious brothers and sisters, the question for this hour is, are you standing on God's word? Now, before we get started, I want to remind you, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that is why we are here, one with another, to study together and to learn together. Now, let's go to the study. Turn with me to Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 13. My brothers and sisters, turn your Bible sources to Ezekiel chapter 13. Now, as a reminder, there are 48 chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and I have written 98 instructions. So chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 and 6 through 9, those are the verses that I'm going to read to you. And as I read them to you, my precious brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to this prophecy. This is the point of the matter of the reading. The prophecy against false prophets. That is what Ezekiel was commissioned by God to tell Israel at this time. The prophecy against false prophets. And this is what Ezekiel said. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. He continues by saying, verse 6 through 9, they have seen vanity and lying divinations, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath sent not them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a vain divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, and therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God Almighty, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord thy God. We know that Solomon said it best. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit, said the preacher. And now I see that we've come upon our first break, so let's take our first break, and then we will get back to our instructions.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this verse, Jesus commanded his disciples and us to be wise as serpents. The word wise is the Greek word which means prudent, careful, cunning, discerning, thoughtful, intelligent, or sensible. This word perfectly depicts the behavior and actions of the snakes. They are very careful, discerning, intelligent, and prudent in how they act. It is fact that Jesus told us that we need to be as wise as serpents. There's obviously something Jesus wanted us to learn from the behavior of snakes. If you're squeamish about serpents and snakes, stay with me for the next moment so you can get the full impact of what Jesus was telling us. Remember, Jesus is the one who chose to use a serpent to make this point. So let's consider the behavior of serpents for a moment and see how this relates to us being wise in the way we live our lives. First, when serpents move into a new territory, they don't announce their presence. Instead, they lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment. As snakes evaluate a new situation, they see what kind of opportunities are in the area. They identify places of shelter. They find hiding places to protect themselves from the attack. They observe and see where they can find the easiest prey. When all these facts are assimilated, the serpent is ready to act, and Jesus said there is wisdom in a serpent's behavior from which we need to learn. Lesson: when God tells you or me to do something new, it is wisdom for us to move carefully into that new phase of our lives. A common mistake is to act too fast. Acting hastily before all the facts are gathered and assimilated can lead us to make erroneous decisions. In fact, one serious mistake can cause us to lose an opportunity altogether. It's better to lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment for a while, learning from the sights and facts we observe. Second, serpents are wise enough to know when to seize the moment and strike. Knowing when to act is as important as knowing when to lay low. When prey passes before a serpent, that serpent knows it's time to strike. If the snake waits too long, the opportunity will pass, and the prey will reach an irretrievable position. Lesson: when it's time to act, put your fears and emotions aside and seize the moment. I have seen so many people pray and pray for divine opportunity to come to them. They wait for that golden moment to come, and at last, it does. A great door of opportunity stands directly in front of them. It's time to act, but rather than seize the moment and walk through that door, they pause just a little bit longer. God brought them exactly what they have been waiting for, but because they paused, they lost the opportunity. When they finally got around to saying yes, it was too late. You and I are not brilliant enough to figure out the right timing for everything by our own logic. So be very careful not to move too fast, and be careful also not to delay when the time is right to act. Open your heart to the Spirit of God, and let Him begin to teach you when to lay low and when to strike. Thanks for watching this video. Share and subscribe.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with instruction number 23. And you know the instruction is the prophecy against false prophets. That is what Ezekiel told Israel at the time of his commission. And we already have absorbed that vanity was one of the major points that caused these prophets to falsify the prophecy that God gave them. Now, to exemplify this, to add a little more impetus, we're going to listen to what King Solomon told Israel in Proverbs chapter 19 about this false witnessing. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, this is what Solomon declared: a false witness shall not be unpunished. He shall speak lies, shall not escape. This is telling us that you will be held accountable by God for speaking falsely. And again, verse 9, he completes the thought by saying, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he shall speak lies shall perish. That's telling us again that that's exactly what's going to happen to false prophets. And now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to see how comparing and agreeing with this today in our New Testament, 2 Peter, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and this is what Peter said to the disciples. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall be damned in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Remember at the time you had these Jews, Orthodox Jews, running around saying that Jesus Christ and what he stood for was false and it was not godly. In verse 13, Peter continues by saying, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And again, remember when Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye vipers, you hypocrites. And he said that also to the Sadducees, telling them that they were in error and misleading the people of Israel, and that they would be punished for their unrighteousness. And then Peter concludes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, by saying, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Remember, at the beginning, Israel was clean. And then they became, as they were before God cleaned them up, they became unrighteous. And that is what the promise will be for those who falsify godliness. They will return to their own ruin. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that false witnessing or false prophesying of any kind will be punished by God. It will not go unpunished, and that is the bottom line that we want to understand from this particular instruction. Let's go to the next instruction, instruction 24, and we're going to go now to Ezekiel chapter 14. We're going to look at the next chapter in Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at verse 4 through verse 8, and I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the verses to you, another denunciation about prophecy against idol worship. This is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. God will not stand for anything that'll go before him. That is critical. And this is what Israel fell into at the time of the Babylonian captivity. And this is what Ezekiel was commissioned to tell Israel about it. This is Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4 through 8. And this is what Ezekiel said. Therefore, God tells Ezekiel, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, meaning that those who disobey much will be punished much. And there's a lot of scripture that substantiates that. And you can see that Ezekiel even told Israel that you could even harbor that in your hearts. You don't have to physically go before an idol and worship. You can think about something that is before God, and you will be punished for it. And again, verse 5 continues, Ezekiel says, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations, every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of iniquity before his face, and come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. You can see again that what Israel is facing is that any deviation from the one God worship is going to punishment from God. And he completes the thought in verse 8 by saying, and I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Now that is critical. You do not recognize God, you forsake God, you will be forsaken. Remember what Jesus says, if you do not confess me before man, I will not confess you before God. Now I see we're at our second break, so let's take that break, and then we'll get back to the instruction.
Israel, also called Jacob, said to Joseph, the one he never thought he'd see again, the dream that he thought had died, the thing that he thought was over. What is your Joseph? What is the thing that you have given up on in your life and you've said the story is over and this is the way it's going to be and I'm just always going to just struggle with this and I'm always going to deal with this and I'm never going to get over this and I'm never going to get victory and I'm going to sing the words to the song but I don't really mean them or believe them anymore because I'm just going through the motions and I'm just going through this. What is your Joseph? Now watch this. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. He's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he let him see Joseph, but he used everything that Joseph had been through to save the whole family. Because he's the God of the plot twist. Not only did he minister to the woman, he sent the woman to go get the whole town. Plot twist. He skipped the meal, but he reaped the harvest. God is the God of the plot twist. Now, who is this for? If this is for you, just tell me right now. Say, this is for me. This is for me. This is for me. This is bread from heaven for me. God said to tell you that there's a plot twist happening in your life right now. He said to tell you that the things about you that you don't like, he's going to leverage them for greater grace to be released in your life. And I speak by the Spirit of the Lord into your life. He is turning things around right now. And you will see Joseph again. And you will see provision again. And you will have joy again. And you will dance again. And you will shout again. And you will go to the house of God again. And you will rise again. And you will breathe again. And you will sing again. Thought I'd never see you again. Israel said to Joseph, it was the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. Never thought it would happen, but it did. God said, get ready for unexpected blessings in unlikely places. Through weakness, he is strong. In your crushing, oil comes forth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 24. The prophecy against idol worship. And we already heard what Ezekiel said or declared against Israel. Now let's go to our Old Testament. I'm going to give you an exemplification. This is to emphasize the criticality of false worship against God. This is what Exodus, turn with me if you will, turn your Bible sources to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 4 and 5, 4 through 6. Turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, and listen to what God said. Say, God spake these words, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. My brothers and sisters listening out there, listen. False worshiping false idols is critical with God. And God has definitely not only immediately disciplined those who do this, but their children inherit part of that punishment. Did you hear this? It says visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. So that is critical that you do not do this against God. Now let's turn our Bibles to the New Testament. We're gonna look at comparing and agreeing the significance and severity of this in Revelation chapter 2. This is the Spirit speaking to the church, and it's Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 20 through 23, and this is what is today something that we should respond to in so significant. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Did you hear the significance of that against God? He will kill your children, my brothers and sisters. That is what the book of Revelation says. That is critically significant for us to understand. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that anything you do before God or anything you put before God will cause you problems with God. That is critical. You must not honor anything but the Lord God Almighty. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay? Turn back with me to instruction number 25. We're looking at Ezekiel. We're going to take another instruction out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. We're looking at verse 12 through verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 12 through 20. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The righteousness of Noah, Daniel, and Jacob. We're going to hear how God responds to righteousness. Then we'll get a comparison and an agreement in the New Testament with now, how significant righteousness is in our lives. And I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, this is what I consider the Alpha and the Omega of our existence, meaning our bookends, if you will. We are caught between righteousness and judgment. From the cradle to the grave, righteousness and judgment. And this is what Ezekiel prophesied to Israel about righteousness and putting the example of Noah, Daniel, and Job in it. And this is what the chapter 14, verse 12 starts and says. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should not deliver it but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So again, as we read in the previous instruction about the Spirit speaking to the church and said that the children, our very children, would be destroyed if we do not repent, except for our righteousness, that is what's going to happen to everything that is unrighteous. Regardless of what we do, if we stay righteous, we will get the salvation that we seek from God. Ezekiel continued in verse 15 saying, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they soil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver thee, not their sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Again, unrighteousness will be destroyed. And verse 17 says, or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver thee not sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. You see the emphasis God is putting on righteousness? Verse 19, or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither their sons nor daughters. They shall be delivered only their own souls by their own righteousness. Remember Paul said, work out your own soul salvation in fear and trembling? That is what the prophet is telling Israel. Even though the rest of Israel is going astray, those who do not go astray, their righteousness will save them. That is so significant. And now we're going to go to add impetus to it. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to see in verse 24 and 25 what God, or what Moses rehearsed before Israel. This is what God told Moses to tell Israel in verse 24 and 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the Lord God commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us this day. That means that our righteousness, our keeping God's commandments, is our righteousness. I see that we're upon another break, so let us take the break, and then we will go back and complete the lesson.
My expectation is that as I walk with God, and as I make decisions to follow him, and I make decisions to eliminate certain things from my life that are causing me to drain energy and focus that could be applied toward my purpose, that this gap behind me will get bigger and the gap in front of me will get smaller. But guess what God does? When you take a step, when you make a move, when I step, you step. Watch this. God moves too. You're going to love this gold digger. See, in my mind, the goal was, stay right there, that this gap goes away. Here's what God knows. If you think that you have arrived, arrogance is sure to follow. So what God is going to do, I need to do this, this is version 2.0. God is going to make sure that as you grow, when I step, you step. The gap stays. So you look back and you say, oh, look, I'm moving forward. But you look forward and it doesn't feel like you've gone anywhere. But I want to let you know, you're right where you need to be. See, you need grace for both gaps. Here it is. The same grace that created this gap between where I was and where I am is the grace I need. I step, you step. Keep moving forward. So God says to everyone who's in the middle of something right now, in the middle of change, in the middle of process, in the middle of becoming, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the fire, you step by step. Keep stepping. Step. Stay in the middle. Step. Stay in faith. Step. Stay in courage. Step. Stay blessed. Stay in my hand. Stay in the storm. I'm with you in the fire. God is in the middle.
When I see.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, again, we're on instruction number 25. Righteousness is the focus of the instruction. We know what Ezekiel told Israel about Daniel and Noah and Job. Their righteousness was golden, and now we know why, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, we know that Moses rehearsed it to Israel that keeping God's commandments is our righteousness. That is so significant. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Romans. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And this is what Paul taught the Romans, and this is so significant. Paul said, let not then your good be spoken evil of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. My brothers and sisters, we are aiming all of our efforts to get into the kingdom of God. That means righteousness is paramount. Listen to what Paul added to the saying to the Romans. For he in these things serve Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved of by man. So you want to be acceptable to God and approved of by man and serve Jesus Christ? My brothers and sisters, you have to be righteous. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that righteousness is synonymous to godliness. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Righteousness is synonymous to godliness. And remember what I told you earlier, that our Alpha and Omega is righteousness to judgment. So you can see we start off in the righteousness of God. And then we end with the judgment that is looking at all of the unrighteousness we commit from the time that we were conceived. That is so significant, and I want you to keep that in mind, that righteousness is paramount. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 14. Again, we're going to look at another, take another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 21 through 23. And this is the particular instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The four sour judgments of God. That's what I want you to keep in mind. This is something that God does not accept, the four sour judgments of God. And this is what Ezekiel said to Israel about that. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore, not sour, four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. Number one, the sword. Number two, the famine. Number three, the noisome beast. And number four, the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be conformed or concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And he concludes with, and they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. So what Israel was told by Ezekiel, that the four sore judgments was going to destroy them, but there would be those within Israel that will not be destroyed, the remnant. And those who are being destroyed can look to that remnant and be thankful that there is a way for repentance. And that's what we receive through Jesus Christ. Now, to add impetus to this, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to get more instruction from what Moses rehearsed to Israel, that is telling you, even adds in the law more than just those four sore judgments that Israel was told by Ezekiel. Listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel, what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. This is what Moses said. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Listen, my brothers and sisters, listen to these judgments. The Lord shall send upon you these cursings, vexations, and rebuke, and all that thou set thy hand upon to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed thee from off the land, whither thou go to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So it was more than what Ezekiel told Israel during their captivity. But that was bringing back to mind, and it should have reminded them of what Moses told them, which I just read to thee, which I just read to you, how significant this is, those judgments of God. And remember, I told you that the righteousness and judgment, that's our Alpha and our Omega. So righteousness is where we begin, and judgment is where we end up. And now let's go to the book of Revelation. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 15, and we're going to see what the prophecy of Jesus Christ said concerning this and what affects us today in these end times. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. This is part of the judgment of God. Listen, and I saw another angel in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. So those seven angels with the seven last plagues, and this is what verse 6 through 8 completes the thought. It says, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. My brothers and sisters, we do not want to be a part of that at all. And now before we complete this instruction, let's go to our final break of the evening.
Testifiers, let us pray. Loving God, I pray that you will comfort me in my suffering. Lend skill to the hands of my healers, and bless the means used for my cure. Give me such confidence in the power of your grace, that even when I'm afraid, I put my whole trust in you. Be near me in my time of weakness and pain. Sustain me by your grace, that my strength and courage may not fail. Heal me according to your will, and help me always to believe that what happens to me here is of little account if you hold me in eternal life. Lord, look upon me with eyes of mercy. May your healing hand rest upon me. May your life-giving powers flow into every cell of my body and into the depths of my soul. Lord, I ask that you cleanse me, purify me, restore me to wholeness and strength for your service in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Today, walk in faith and trust God's timing. God bless you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, just to complete instruction number 26, you know we're talking about the four sore judgments of God, and we know that righteousness is the alpha of our existence, and judgment is the omega, and we should understand that judgment consists of being corrected, being disciplined, or being chastised, or being reprimanded, or being punished. Even destruction can be a part of this judgment, and this is what we should understand from this instruction spiritually. That the judgment of God is upon us from cradle to grave without remorse, except through Jesus Christ we have repentance. If it weren't for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we would all be destroyed because of judgment. And that is the bottom line, my brothers and sisters. So that's how critical judgment is, and that's what I want you to take from this particular instruction. Now, let's go back to instruction number 27, it's Ezekiel chapter 15. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And what I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you is this instruction, the parable of the vine tree. Now, we know that the vine tree is very significant in the New Testament. Jesus the Christ himself says that he is the true vine, and that is significant. So this is the parable of the vine tree that Ezekiel was commissioned to declare to Israel. And this is what verse 1 through 8 says. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel, and the fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God, when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have compassed a trespass, saith the Lord God. And that is so significant that this vine tree burned up and was destroyed. And we know that that's what Ezekiel is telling Israel. And for our part in the New Testament, before I read the New Testament compliment, that the vine tree that burned up in the fire, God punished Jesus Christ in our behalf. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So God, being the all-consuming fire, has burned up the vine tree for Israel. They did not receive Jesus Christ. In fact, they denied him when they had a chance to receive him. But as far as we're concerned, this is critical for us. Let's now go to John chapter 15, and we're going to read how significant this vine tree is to us. This is what Jesus said in his parable about the vine tree, in contrast to the parable that Ezekiel gave Israel in their captivity. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So Jesus is saying that you can be burned up or broken off if you are not obeying God. And this is the completion of the thought, verse 5 through 7. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying that if your vine is broken off, the branch, and thrown into the fire, will burn up and be fruitless, as it were in the time of the prophecy against Israel about the vine tree. But because Jesus has brought us repentance, and we have salvation through him. But without him, we have no salvation. Verse 6 continues, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn up. Just as I mentioned, this is what Jesus just declared. And verse 7 completes the thought. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We want to be forgiven of our sins, that the vine branch that we are connected to, Jesus Christ, will prosper, and there will be much fruit. And from that fruit, we will receive the salvation that we seek. My brothers and sisters, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the only parable that can quench the fire of God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That Jesus the Christ, if you want to call him a parable, he is the only way that the all-consuming fire of God can be quenched. And he was given to the fire of God in order for us to be relieved from total destruction. That is so significant, and that's what I want you to understand from this instruction spiritually. Now let's go to our final instruction for the evening. Turn with me. We're going to go back to Ezekiel. This time we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, we're going to be looking at several verses in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1 through 6 and verse 9 through 13. And as I read the verses to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. This is the instruction. Israel's heritage is identified by God. So even in that time of captivity, Israel still was given a heritage through God or to God through Ezekiel the prophet. And this is what Ezekiel the prophet said in chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitieth thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And that is so significant that in the beginning, and of course we know that sin has corrupted us. So in the beginning of our sin, we have compassion with God. We have the righteousness I told you about, even though the death mark was put upon us because of Adam. When we are born, remember we're in the ovary and we come out of the womb and the umbilical cord is cut. This is the process that Jesus is telling, the same with Israel through Ezekiel. And this is how he completes the thought in verses 9 through 13. This is what Ezekiel says, Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin. I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Remember how Adam and Eve sinned, and through Adam and Eve all the way up to Abraham, there was devastation for man. And then after Adam or Abraham received the gift from God, he prospered Israel, and Israel prospered all the way up until they started sinning more and more and more. And this is what Ezekiel is bringing out. So this is so significant. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see what Israel was, or what the Romans were told by Paul, comparing and agreeing. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and verse 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be there that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify him. That is our heritage, Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that through Jesus Christ, we inherit eternal life exclusively. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we have concluded our lesson for this evening. And before we leave, I would like to thank you, the host, and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
thank you for tuning in tonight to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday at 8 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.